Kylan, it is hard to come up with interesting things to talk about when it comes to the Golden State Warriors when we're in early September. But I think I found a few nuggets we can dive into that Dub Nation will be interested about at a minimum. First things first, Stephen Curry was asked an interesting question, and his answer was even more interesting regarding which titles he values the most. And Gary Payton II, our beloved defensive stalwart who's no longer with the Golden State Warriors, he was on George Karl's podcast, former Golden State Warriors head coach, and revealed some interesting tidbits there. We're going to dive into all that and so much more. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. You could watch our show on YouTube. Again, any podcast platform, you can find us. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline is where the game starts. You can follow Kron 4 Sports anchor Kylan Mills on Twitter at Kylan Mills. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzes, on Twitter at Dog Surf Rocho. First of all, congratulations, Kylan. I think you're officially now a part of the team. You're part of the Locked On Network. We'll might as well announce it now. You're going to be joining us every Monday and Friday. So you're bookending the weekend. Congratulations. How do you feel about being now officially a member of Locked On? And I'm sorry that you're stuck with me.
Thanks, Cy. Super excited to make it official, finally. I know I've been coming on the program, so this probably won't be a huge shock to fans and audience members out there, haters, whatever. But yeah, I'm excited to get this thing rolling. Once preseason starts, like, we're going to hit the ground running. I know it's been slow the last couple months, but this month the Warriors play preseason basketball. So that's very exciting. And now I'm officially part of the show. So I'm excited. We're going to have plenty to talk about here shortly.
You're stuck with me. I'm really sorry, but that's how it goes. That's this month the preseason begins.
Yeah,
the first. Like, are those the games in Japan? Maybe.
I don't remember.
I love it. Perfect answer. Here's what I want to start.
It's their first preseason game. I can tell you that. That probably is. Japan, but who cares? We can still watch it.
Are you going to go to Japan? I know CJ Holmes was on with me last week, beat reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle, or maybe that was 2 weeks ago. I don't know. I'm losing track of just the very concept of time. But he said he's actually going to Japan to cover the team. Are you rolling? I know you went to the NBA Finals.
No. Local TV stations are not going to be shelling out to send their reporters to Japan. I'll just tell you that right now.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost that much, does it?
To get to go, I think that would be a really cool experience.
Oh my God. Could you imagine like actually being able to expense that trip? Like the receipts, you'd probably have like a whole binder of receipts, a lot of it written in Japanese. You're like, here we go. You owe me money for all the amazing food I had. The flight that cost $3,000. So Stephen Curry, I don't know what show he was on. I really don't know. I think this had something to do with Sports Illustrated, maybe. But he was on some show, some podcast, whatever it was, and he was asked a rather interesting question. The question was pertaining to what he values more, the one title he just recently won or the two he won with KD. So this is what Stephen Curry had to say to that.
Would you rather have this ring taken away or the two you won during the Kevin Durant era?
No, I want this one. No, give me this one all day, every day. You don't find me ugly crying on the court for no reason.
I love ugly crying. Because he was crying. I didn't think he was ugly. Your immediate thoughts in reaction to Stephen Curry putting more value on the most recent title over two of them that he won with Kevin Durant?
I think it's a testament to what this past season's Warriors team accomplished, just given all of the adversity. That wasn't a huge surprise to me that he said that, because covering the team all season, like, all the Warriors veterans talked about it over and over and over again about, hey, if we do win this, this is going to mean more than any past championship, maybe aside from the first, because they kind of talked about how, you know, your first championship, you always remember that, and that holds a special place in your heart. But aside from that, this is the first championship where literally no one thought they could do it from the beginning of the season onward, at least no one outside of their locker room. Versus when KD joined the Warriors, I mean, the chatter was nonstop about how this was a super team. They were almost too good. And you know, there were critics saying it wasn't fair. They have too many stars. And they were expected to win. I mean, that's the bottom line. The Warriors had already won a championship. They add KD. They're expected to win those other championships. And I think even the players knew, like, that really was a super team. I'm sorry, but if you ask me, like, teaming up the pieces that Golden State had with Kevin Durant, no one was even close to beating them. So it was expected. This championship wasn't expected by anyone outside of that locker room. And that's why it meant so much to the players, in addition to all they've dealt with in the last 2 years with the pandemic being the worst in the Western Conference in 2020, dealing with Klay Thompson's back-to-back injuries, and then a number of the other stars. Like, we forget Steph Curry was injured. Draymond Green this season dealt with a fairly serious injury with that lower back. So all of their key pieces, you know, had to deal with some type of adversity in order to come back and win this, and it was just an improbable run. So, you know, not a huge surprise to me. I think it's just a testament to what this group accomplished. And, I mean, it's cool to hear him say it out loud, you know, but this was a team that Steph Curry really led by himself. It wasn't KD's team, you know. So I think that's a big part of why he said that.
Yeah, and when you say that he led by himself, I in a lot of ways, it just shows goes to show, like, just the type of person Steph is, that he took a backseat those 3 years when KD was here. He didn't have to. And if anything, he proved this season that he was the top dog on those teams. He was the top dog on every team. By the way, I take umbrage to you saying no one outside of that locker room. I was saying they're going to win the title. Stephen A. Smith, I'll give him a little credit. He was saying that as well, but I'm joking. I'm obviously being facetious. And it's crazy to me, though, that he valued it so much that he put more weight on one title versus two. You know, like, it just goes to show the meaning of this season to him. I mean, again, I don't remember ever seeing him cry. So the ugly crying alone was just unusual. And I think it really was symbolic of how much this meant. And he even hesitated in answering that question. He just was like, oh, this one. Clearly this one, like, without question. I do wonder which one you would put more value on between the first he ever won and this year. Like, yeah. How do you think you would answer that? Like, do you think you'd still say this one, or because I'm so conflicted over which one is more important. I still don't know. I don't know how to answer that myself. What do you think?
No, that's a tough question. And, you know, the first one is really what got this dynasty started. They were all so young. They were still learning at that point. And not that that was an improbable run, but, like I said, different than the KD era where they were expected to win. They weren't necessarily expected to win. And they were all, you know, still learning the NBA. So it's kind of crazy looking back to that and then now. Yeah. I think this one still means more because of, again, just the adversity the team faced and because of all of the outside noise, the critics who said they couldn't do it. Like I said, not that they were necessarily, you know, everyone was saying, oh, you know, jumping on the bandwagon, they were favorites the first year that they won. But I think this year they really, really had to deal with more even than they did leading up to that first championship. And, you know, now they're all so much older and they're wiser, and the core especially, I think, appreciates the moment more, and they're able to soak it in a little bit more and, you know, recognize the gravity of what they've accomplished. And that's something the players have talked about too, in the twilight of this last championship, is just, you know, like, now we're so much more mature. We can appreciate how special this is versus when you're young, you're like, all right, yeah, you know, I won a championship, whatever. Add on 8 years and you just take a different perspective on it. And I think all the players realize now how special what they've done the last 8 years is. And the players really recognize just the gravity of what they've accomplished, what they're doing with the Golden State Warriors, the potentially to really be a generation-changing dynasty. So I think that's another factor as to why potentially Steph Curry or some of the players would say that this last one means more. Also, just the perspective of being older, wiser, and, again, just the adversity they overcame.
Absolutely. Let's hear from Klay Thompson on how he felt after he won the World Championship again. This clip never gets old to me.
I can't wait. There was this one player on the Grizzlies who tweeted strength in numbers after they beat us in the regular season, and it pissed me off so much. I can't wait to retweet that thing. freaking bum. That I had to watch that. I'm just like, this freaking clown. Okay. 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 Sorry. That memory just popped up. You're going to mock us? Like, you ain't ever been there before, bro. We've been there. We know what it takes. So to be here again, hold that.
Yeah, hold that. I can't. That never gets old to me. I need some sort of like way to have like a meme generator only translating to video and audio for this show, because that needs to be like a perma meme. You freaking bum. I
that's my favorite quote. You freaking bum.
You freaking clown. Like, he's like, it's just that I'm telling you, man, that is how champions operate, dude. They hold on to everything and use it as fuel. The Last Dance was so revealing. Your boy Michael Jordan, man, that is how he operated. That is how Stone Cold killers operate. They take every single little thing and just hold it and fester on it and just use it as fuel, and then let it all loose when they win it and point out the people calling them out. I love it. It's so petty, but I just cannot appreciate it enough. Yeah, this your boy Michael Jordan started that.
This championship was different too, I think, because of that reason. And like, part of that to me is like the explosion of the social media era. Like, even compared to 8 years ago, like, yes, social media was around, but like the chatter was not what it was now with the Boston Celtics fans. I mean, you look back at them all creating the FU Draymond t-shirts, the other paraphernalia they made against him, the comments made. And then, you know, like, once something is said, it's all over Twitter. It's all over Instagram. It's all over every digital outlet's article. It's all over the internet. And yes, like I said, all these things existed 8 years ago, but still, I just think it was not, you know, up another notch in this 2022 run. And they're able to see and hear everything all the haters are saying, because it's showing up on their timelines and it's showing up on their, you know, home screens and the Google home screens. That always happens to me, where you get a couple suggested articles. Like, I can only imagine being a Warriors player during this run and during this past season, and how many times you stumble upon articles, you know, about yourselves or saying that you can't do it or whatever. And, you know, the chatter from the other players, and like even like the Grizzlies series, and then the Celtics got in on it too. The Mavs was a little bit less diabolical, but still, you know, like, they did have so many haters. And like, I don't even know, not that all the comments were people trying to hate, but yes, but you know, they definitely take that to heart. I think the Warriors players take it to heart, and they take it personally, as they should.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I took that personally. And so I think that's also a difference, because like, now you see everything everyone says about you as a pro athlete, or at least you very easily can. Like, it's everywhere. And we see that with KD and how he uses his Twitter. You know, he's literally reading everything. But that's like the digital age that we're in and the social media age that we're in. Like, you know, I think the great thing is the Warriors use it as fuel, and Steph Curry mm-hmm. uses it as fuel. And that's very clear. Draymond Green, you know, he was like, I welcome it. I invite it. You know, if these Boston fans want to hate me, good for them. And same with Klay Thompson, as we just saw, you know, you freaking bum. So that's the great thing, is that the Warriors were not and do not get rattled. They use it as fuel to the fire. And, you know, let's do it again in 2023. Why not?
Hell yeah. They're talking about that already, about the prospect of repeating. And it is crazy. And you're absolutely right. They just use every little thing, which is why it always blows my mind that other players still talk trash. It's like, have you not learned by now that every single time you open your mouth to these guys, all they're doing is just storing it here? They're vindictive. They don't forget. So let the lesson hopefully resonate at some point to the opposition and to everyone else. Shut your damn mouths if you want to have a chance against the Golden State Warriors. Otherwise, you have no shot. You're just motivating already the best team in the world. Why would you do that? It's moronic. In just a moment, I want to play this soundbite from a former Golden State Warriors defensive stalwart, Gary Payton II. He was on a podcast with former Golden State Warriors head coach George Karl, who, by the way, tomorrow, we're recording this on September 9th, it's currently 10:20 a.m. right now. Tomorrow is going to be the 2022 Naismith Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And George Karl, former Warriors head coach, is among the players being inducted. And he had Gary Payton II, the son of his former player, Gary Payton, on his show. And they talked about the Warriors. It was very interesting. So we're going to play that in just a moment. First, BetOnline, longtime sponsor of the program, and more specifically, BetOnline.net. They're your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports information this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week's games. I hope anyone who bet on the game last night won some good money. And you can still bet on the NBA, even though the preseason is still weeks away. BetOnline has odds right now that you could bet on in terms of who will and won't make the playoffs. So the Golden State Warriors, for example, I'm pretty sure you want to stay away from that because the odds of the Warriors making the 2022-23 NBA playoffs, if you bet yes, it's minus 2,500. So you would have to bet $25 to win $1. So unless you are just a negative Nancy, I hope that connotation is not. Is that insulting? Is that something I should not say anymore?
I don't know. I used to say that all. I mean, okay. I've used the phrase before. Maybe it's insulting to Nancy's. I'm not sure.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that with me. So for any of the negative Nancy's out there, if you want to bet no on the Warriors making the playoffs, that's where you can make some money. It's plus 1,200. So you bet $1 to make 12, and the list goes on. Kylan, are there any teams that you think are like on the cusp of making the playoffs? Like teams that you're uncertain about, where it might be an interesting bet? Because like the teams that have the most even odds, for example, like the Atlanta Hawks, yes is minus 240, no is plus 190. The Charlotte Hornets are almost even in terms of making the playoffs. That whole drama with Miles Bridges, I think, really rocked their whole plans for the upcoming season. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious. Like the Lakers.
What's the line? What are the Pelicans at?
Well, the Pelicans should. Oh, you're right. It's actually fairly even, which is a little surprising. I think they have an excellent shot. But yeah, that's a team
I would maybe put money on to make the playoffs that I figure would maybe be close to being like an even line.
It's minus 160 for yes, which isn't great money, but it's not horrible.
Yeah.
And plus 130 on the no. The odds makers are betting against the Knicks to make the playoffs, which is interesting. Anyways, you can bet on all this. Oh, and the Portland Trailblazers, the team that Gary Payne II is going to be playing on this year. The odds of them making the playoffs is plus 190. So the odds makers don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And if you want to bet no, it's minus 240. That's interesting. I think Portland will make the playoffs this year. What do you think about any thoughts on the Trailblazers? That's kind of a weird one, but.
Yeah, it's kind of random. I think they'll be on the cusp. I think they'll make it. I think we'll make it in.
It is random. It's super random. But again, BetOnline is they're your continued source for all your sports wagering information. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, it's where the game starts.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. For your second listen, get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the NBA in just 30 minutes every day with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA, your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. You can follow Kylan Mills on Twitter at Kylan Mills. You can follow me, Cyrus Otsis, on Twitter at Dog Surf Rocho. So Gary Payton II, a player that I had a hard time accepting no longer being a member of the Golden State Warriors, but I'm happy for him. He cashed out. He's never had a big payday. He's on George Karl's podcast, which is called Truth in Basketball. George Karl has been a former guest of this show. I've interviewed him a few times throughout my career, and he's a good dude. He's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame tomorrow. But he had Gary Payton on his show. And his producer and co-host, Brett Goldberg, and I were communicating a little bit because he wanted just some insights from someone who covers the Warriors on a daily basis in terms of questions to ask. And I obviously was just like, dude, ask him about the Warriors, why he left and why, what was the reasoning behind him jumping over to Portland, even though the answer may seem obvious. So this is what the discussion went. This is about 2 minutes of the clip that I'm going to play. And again, this is from Truth in Basketball with now Hall of Fame head coach George Karl.
Tell me about Golden State. You're now talking to the nation of the Warriors. Why are they champions?
You know, nobody believed this team this year, I think, especially what happened, you know, their past years, what they've been going through, you know, just, you know, having guys out, 30 out, Draymond, Clay was out for two seasons, you know, and I think it's just all that just came in, you know, at the right time. We had a group of guys that bit in, that trusted one another, that believed in one another, that wanted the best for one another. And, you know, just with the staff was amazing. And just, you know, everybody who came down, Dub Nation, is everybody in the city, I think it was just time for them, you know, to come back and get on top, especially with Klay and, you know, the big three coming back. Iguodala was there to be a tremendous help off the court, on and off the court, with his knowledge and, you know, everything that he's been through has just been tremendous. And, you know, we just fought all year. You know, we had ups and downs, fought, and, you know, when the time was right, we made a push and we had the right people leading us that's been through it all. So, you know, I think it was just inevitable.
What is the greatest thing that you took away from playing with Steph Curry this year? What did you learn from him that sticks with you the most going forward as a person or player?
Just to be a, you know, professional. He comes in, his work ethic is ridiculous, you know, and he stays poised. He's always poised and calm, you know, never panics, you know, always takes the time to think about, you know, what's going on, think about how to solve some or whatever's going on, you know, in his life. You know, he breaks it down and takes the time to think, never rushes, and is just a great human being all around, just on and off the court. You know, it's just, you can talk to him like he's just a regular dude, just off the court, and talks about life, family, you know, golf, you know, whatever he loves to do. And then just on the court, you know what he's going to do. He's going to lead for you. He's going to be that leader that you need. He's going to show you by example, and he's going to go to bat for you. So I think just all around, just 30's just a hell of a human being.
Tell me why you left.
For the money. I had to take the money. I had to take the money, coach. It didn't work out. I would have loved to go on back to Golden State, but you know, it just didn't work out. Just the timing and everything, just a business deal. So, and I just had to take the money.
And I can't blame him. He had to take the money. I miss him. I really thought he was going to be a long-term fixture of the team, but I get it. You know, he was due money, and that luxury tax penalty is huge. He's not young. I mean, relatively speaking, he's still in his 20s, but he's going to turn 30 soon. I don't know your thoughts on that. I thought that was a great clip. And again, congratulations to George Karl again for making the Hall of Fame. He's going to be inducted tomorrow. He coached the Golden State Warriors, I think, for two seasons, maybe three. And he was the coach when I started watching the Warriors in the 80s. So, like, I always have a special admiration for him, just because, you know, in those formative years of our lives, you know, certain things just stick with you. They have nostalgia. And George Karl was part of, like, the Warriors getting into this huge brawl with the Jazz. And it's really an underrated video clip if you find it. During the playoffs, and the Warriors ultimately upset the Jazz. I think that was in 87. But your thoughts on Gary? Yeah, on Gary Payne II's comments there.
I mean, that was obvious to me as soon as he signed the deal. Like, that man deserved to get paid. And if the Warriors weren't going to pay him, like, he needed to go somewhere else to finally get his. I mean, Gary Payton II has struggled to make it in the NBA literally his entire career. You know, when you look at some players and suggest, hey, maybe take a little bit less money, take a pay cut to stay on a championship team or join a championship team, like, GP2 just was not in that boat. Like, he literally was signing his first contract with an NBA contract where he actually got to decide the terms. And that's huge for him. It's such a big accomplishment. Another quote that I saw from that same podcast was that Gary said that his dad used to call him a basketball player and told him that he wasn't good growing up. I don't know why I thought this was so funny. And I actually just had to look it up because I was like, I think that was from Truth in Basketball. And it was a part of that same conversation that apparently he said that his dad told him in high school and going into college that he wasn't good and that he had to get it together. And I don't know if a lot of people know, like, Gary didn't get recruited by any colleges out of high school. He played for a community college in Salt Lake City for 2 years before moving on to Oregon State. And then he wasn't drafted after playing 2 years at Oregon State. He was undrafted in 2016. And then, you know, the last 6-7 seasons, he's been going back and forth, you know, trying to make it in the G League. So just an inspirational story, the way that he climbed the ladder and really continued working and persevered. So good for him. I think that Warriors fans take the same approach. Like, you can't have any complaints about the man going with the best business deal for him. He clearly loved the Warriors, loved this organization. He begged Bob Myers to let him stick around after initially being cut, or they told him, hey, we don't need your services anymore. And he said, just let me continue hanging around the team ended up proving himself, and he like was vocal about wanting to stay here, but ultimately you've got to make the decision that's best for you. A lot of respect to GP2, and you know, hopefully the Blazers make the playoffs, just because, you know, I'll always have a soft spot for whatever team.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you could just hear that he didn't want to leave. Like, like, even though he's gone, he's a Warrior. He was part of that championship team. He was a vitally important part of that championship team. And you will be missed Gary Payton II. I think the Portland Trailblazers are going to make the playoffs this year, especially with the Utah Jazz out of the picture. The LA Lakers are grossly overrated. And I say overrated because a lot of people still think they're going to make the playoffs. A few people naively think they're going to be like championship contenders. Folks, that team is done. They were done 2 years ago. They were done last year when they didn't even make the playoff play-in team. You know, they're relying on LeBron James, who turns 38 years old, who's since 2017 has averaged missing a third of the season because of injuries. I don't know what people are thinking that the Lakers have any shot at anything. And the reason why I bring that up is because I think the Portland Trailblazers do. I mean, Dame Lillard's coming back. He's motivated. You have Gary Payton II, who I think is going to make a tremendous impact. Anthony Simons and crew. I like the construction of that team. I think the Portland Trailblazers are going to be okay. And I just want to add, by the way, the Golden State Warriors, just to symbolize how classy of an organization they are from top on down, Joe Lacob, Peter Gruber and company, they purchased an advertisement in the Hall of Fame enshrinement yearbook for George Karl, just to honor him. I mean, George Karl was not like a huge part of the Warriors history. Again, I think he coached the team for 3 years. By the way, well, I have an exciting announcement to make. Next week, Sleepy Floyd will be on the program. I think it's going to be on Tuesday, so stay tuned for that. And Sleepy played for George Karl in the playoff game where Sleepy Floyd set the Warrior, or the NBA, playoff record. Most points in a half and quarter. That was during George Karl's reign as head coach. The Warriors bought this advertisement. They also bought like this. They bought this whole 2-page spread in the enshrinement yearbook to commemorate just, you know, what an accomplishment making the Hall of Fame is. So kudos to the Warriors and congratulations, Coach George Karl. And again, just Truth in Basketball is the name of the podcast. Want to mention that. I want to shift gears real quick on a much lighter note. You and I are dog people, Kylan. We love our fur babies. You have two of them. Introduce people again to your fur babies. Like, what are their names? Describe your pups, please.
I have two dogs, both rescue dogs, adopted them out of shelters. Large dogs, their names are Benny and Cuba. One is a border collie, like mostly border collie with some lab mixed in. He's huge. He's 80 pounds. So that's how I know he's not a border collie. And by the way, we did a DNA test and I got ripped off because it came back and said that he's a beagle. And I have never seen an 80-pound beagle. He doesn't look like a beagle. I could go on a tangent about this DNA test. Anyway, at least the one we did, I just got ripped off. Like,
did you dispute the charge? I would have called your credit card company and literally disputed that charge so you don't pay it. That's ridiculous.
But I should have. I wasn't quite that petty, but I should have because I was like, what? So it came back saying he was border collie and beagle. And like, if he was a border collie beagle, he would not be 80 pounds. And he like, it said he was no lab. Like, he looks like a lab. When I adopted him, he was at the shelter with an entire litter of puppies. They looked like they were lab mixes. Like, he looks like he has lab in him. He has short hair, like shorter than border collie hair. He has the body type. He's kind of wide. And so I don't know. Those DNA tests, I think, are a scam. And then my other dog is like a total mutt. I don't know what he is, but he is 90-ish pounds, somewhere just north of 90 pounds. He looks kind of like he has chocolate lab in him. But again, I'm not buying whatever the DNA test said. So it's hard to say, but they are 6 and 7 years old. So in the golden years, prime years of their lives.
Those are such good years because they are still in their primes, but they're also chill, or more chill than they were in their life.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially a border collie. Like, he was a psycho from ages 0 to 2. Like, he was awful. He was so, had so much energy. Anyone who's familiar with any of the like herding breeds or working dogs know, like, you got to constantly, but he's chilled out. They're both pretty chill, but they're not to the point where they're like old yet. They're starting to get some like little gray hairs, and I literally stare at them and want to cry when I see that. So I'm just not going to talk about it, but they still got a lot of good years left. That's the bottom
line. Yes, they do. Especially like if they're mutts, you know, they got, that just buys them time because genetically they're healthier, right? Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying about them aging. Like, so my pup lived until a month shy of 13. I still I cannot talk about it because I will lose it. But
no, I was gonna say I'm surprised you brought up this topic. I didn't want to ask.
That's all right. It's been 8 months now, so I can get into a little bit. I'm starting to get over it in the sense where it just doesn't. I'm not obsessing about it. But but the reason why I bring this whole topic up is because my favorite dog on the planet. No offense, Kylan. Maybe I should say a tie with your babies. But Clay Thompson's dog Rocco is certainly up there. And there was a Clay Thompson. There was a Rocco Thompson sighting. This is on Clay Thompson's Instagram story. We haven't seen new pictures of Rocco in a while, but for the YouTube audience, this is an exclusive. Sorry, podcast listeners, you can't see this. But if you follow me on Twitter at Dogs Surf Roadshow, I tweeted these pictures. So these are pics of Clay Thompson's dog, Rocco, again. And that's just a photo, a selfie that he took there. And then the second picture is a mirror reflection from a walk they went on. I have no idea where that is, but apparently the two were separated for a little while. I'm guessing this was during Clay Thompson gallivanting across the globe, celebrating his fourth world championship, rightfully so, well-deserved. But he's back home. He's back with his puppy. And someone else that is that also is a huge dog lover is Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He actually created like a separate social media account for one of his dogs. He posted this picture the other day, like of him in bed with at least three of them. And I'm the same as you. Like, I love big dogs. Like, no offense to the little dog owners out there, but I need a big dog in my life. That's where they feel like a human if you snuggle with them. They don't yap like little rats. Again, no offense to the little dog owners out there. But but it made me think about the fact that the Warriors could have had Anthony Edwards. People forget about this, you know. I don't know if you and I have touched on this topic. Connell Letourneau, when he comes on, almost every time we bring this up, because it's kind of a sore subject. The Warriors could have had him, and I don't think the price would have been that bad. The Timberwolves had no desire when that draft came about to draft Anthony Edwards. I mean, when I say that, I mean like they weren't fully committed. They weren't sold on him. They were shopping the pick. Reports have been out there that the Warriors could have swapped picks. And this was the year that the Warriors drafted James Wiseman. They had no desire to swap picks. And again, there were the speculation is that the Timberwolves, that the Timberwolves wanted the Kuminga pick back as part of a pick swap, but they could have negotiated. I don't think they had to give that up in order to make the swap happen. And I guess what I'm asking, Kylan, is, if you're the Warriors or if you're a fan of the Warriors or if you're just involved in any regard, is there regret now 3 years later or approaching 3 years later that the Warriors did not make that swap? Like they could have had Anthony Edwards instead of James Wiseman. Is there any regret? Are you happy with that pick? Your thoughts?
I feel like it's too early to say whether you're happy with that pick or you regret that pick. I would say like where we're at right now and the fact that we haven't really seen James Wiseman, like regret would be understandable based on seeing, you know, just the star power that Anthony Edwards has because it's been on the court. However, I just feel bad writing off James Wiseman and saying, you know what, like that was a mistake because he really hasn't gotten a chance yet to play and be fully healthy in the NBA. I still think he does have a lot of tools to be an NBA star and to potentially be an all-star with his length and his size and his two-way ability. So I don't know, like, I guess I just, you know, still I'm trying to shy away and give him a little bit more time to prove that he was worth that top, you know, draft pick spot because he just kind of has had a really rough run in his first 2 years. You know, just his rookie season and his second season were lost on injuries. And it's just so unfortunate when you see that happen to a player. And I still would really like to evaluate him playing in the NBA healthy for like one season, two seasons before like fully asserting that, like, yeah, you know what, like that was a bad pick. You know what I mean? I'm just a little bit more riding the middle line on this one because I just, like I said, I feel for the kid and what he's had to deal with in his first 2 years. However, it is hard like to look at what Anthony Edwards has done and to say, ooh, yeah, like we wouldn't have wanted that on our team. Of course, I didn't even want to add Anthony Edwards, especially seeing his capabilities. I also have something to add about dogs when you're done with this topic.
Yeah, you'll add now, please.
So something I saw that while you were talking about dogs, I saw this article recently and it had kind of made the circuit like 5 years ago, but another player who is big, on his dogs and loves his dogs is Andrew Wiggins' two dogs, Cassie and Rocky. And I didn't know this. I don't know why I randomly like saw this article and it was years old, but one of his dogs is like a genius dog that can like open doors and like bring him things and like stuff like that. And I just thought that was so cool. I didn't know that.
Yes.
One of my goals is to like train one of my dogs. So I know people have done this to like open the fridge and like bring me a drink. But Andrew Wiggins is like a genius dog, apparently, who can open doors and stuff.
That's crazy. Those dogs always trip me out. Like there's a, like, so I spend, and maybe I should rephrase this. I waste hours sometimes on either Instagram. I don't have a TikTok account, but I feel like if you have Instagram, all the TikTok stuff just eventually migrates there. So I see all that stuff just a week later. But I just literally 2 hours will go by and all I've done is watch dog videos. Right. And there's like one dog who literally uses the bathroom, like in the movie Bruce Almighty, like he sits on the toilet, he flushes. It's one of the craziest things ever. So yeah, these genius dogs trip me out too. And so you're saying Wiggins has one of those. That's wild.
Yeah, if you like Google, I just Googled it, you'll find it. Andrew Wiggins and his dog, like it comes up with like some videos and tweets like Andrew Wiggins dog can open doors, smart dog, you know, and there's some Cassie's getting too smart, Andrew Wiggins. My dog would unlock my door when I forget my key. And there's like an embedded video. So anyways, if you Google it, if any Warriors fans are interested in the players' relationship with their dogs, Andrew Wiggins loves his dogs. And apparently, and there are videos out there of his dog unlocking doors, opening doors, which is crazy to me.
I'll try to find that for Monday so we can play that on Monday's show, those video clips for the YouTube viewers. That's incredible. And Jonathan Kuminga, by the way, is another dog aficionado with the Golden State Warriors. I think he has two like French bulldogs. I could be mistaken on that. I'll look into that as well. But yeah, you and I are just dog people. They're a blessing to humanity, and I absolutely love these little guys and girls. But yeah, and the last thing about the Anthony Edwards thing, like I was advocating strongly. Oh, you just sent a message. Maybe we can show.
Sorry, I sent you the link. I sent you the link for the one of the dog videos. His dog like just literally jumps up like full body jumps up, unlocks the door with his paws, and then opens it, which is just kind of funny. But he just kind of
let's do it now. Let's show now. Here we go. We'll end the show on this. Maybe we'll replay this on Monday's show as well. This is Andrew Wiggins' dog opening a door.
So like first apparently the dog hits the unlock and then can hit the doorknob and open the door. And he commented on there that he's afraid his dog is going to lock him out. And actually, and I should say smart dog, actually it's a genius dog because the dog was not trained to do that. The dog just figured it out according to what Andrew Wiggins said in the thread. And like his comment was like, wow, she's getting too smart for her own good. So that's not something she was like taught to do. She just kind of figured out eventually one day, like, yeah. If I jump up and like tap at this, here's the lock, here's the door handle. Like, that's pretty smart.
Yeah, that is. That's crazy smart. All right. I hope everyone, look, this heat wave's finally dissipating. If you live in the Western United States, you know what I'm talking about. This thing was death. The hottest September in history. It's crazy. So I'm glad weather's finally cooling down. I hope you folks have a nice weekend. You can follow Kylan Mills on Twitter at Kylan Mills. Did we cover everything for today? Everything we're good, right?
We covered everything. Yeah, also, I want to mention that Tim Hardaway is one of the individuals being inducted tomorrow. So, you know, another great Golden State Warrior if you do want to check out that ceremony. Long deserved recognition for him.
Thank you for bringing that up. I'm so glad you did because I did not. I should have. You're absolutely right. The Warriors have multiple representation for the Hall of Fame induction. Congrats, Tim Hardaway. I think Manu Ginobili is being inducted. Congrats, George Karl. I know there's some other folks as well being inducted. In fact, I have the list right here. Am I forgetting anybody that you know of? You're right. Tim Hardaway. Here we go.
I think he was due. You know, like he was due absolutely. And he really was a Warriors great and –
absolutely, you're right. Run and I think DMC, a part of
you know, run TMC, whatever they want to call themselves, had a good run with the Warriors. It could have really done a lot.
Agreed. And I think part of it was politics for him, for taking this long for him to get in. He did unfortunately say some things that were just dumb some years ago, but he's also grown tremendously as a human being. So congratulations again to Tim Hardaway for getting in. Former WNBA champion and two-time college national champion Swin Cash is getting in. Longtime college coach Bob Huggins, WNBA champion, two-time Olympic gold medalist Lindsey Whalen, former WNBA coach of the year Marion Staley, and former NBA official Hugh Evans. Oh, that's the biggest one by far. I mean, oh my God, former NBA official Hugh Evans. He's not in the Hall of Fame yet? My God. That's a travesty. I didn't know that. I mean, Jesus. I mean, when you think about all the all-time great officials, Hugh Evans, my God. How's it taking this long? I mean, they almost butchered that. Okay. So congratulations to everyone. All right, are we good? I think we're good, right? Are we done?
Good.
Yeah. See you Monday. Every Monday and Friday now. You sandwich the weekend. End the week with Kylan Mills. Start the week with Kylan Mills. You really are helping people, Kylan.
That's kind of scary. Don't say that again. That's kind of scary. Start the weekend, end the week with me. I don't know if you want to do that. I can't personally endorse that. But if you do listen to us, we appreciate it.
And follow the program on Twitter @LockedOnDubs. Bye, everyone. Thanks, Kylan.